that wherever I go, I'm hoping I am very thrilled to be here, to be members along with you. And we've told other people that there is a church in San Angelo called the West Angelo Church of Christ. And it is composed of people that love God and that love each other. And you made it very apparent yesterday at the Fishers gathering. And some of his family is here this morning, and we welcome you. Thank you for being here. You will need your Bibles. And I invite you to go to chapter 3 of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at two verses. Verses 15 and 16 of chapter 3 of Philippians. And let us notice something here that the Apostle Paul says to this group of people. Among other things, he says the following: All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So, with these words, Paul is encouraging the Philippian church. And he is saying that he identifies along with those who have matured. And so you need to note that Paul is not saying all the Philippians have matured. He's not saying that. Because if truth be known, some of the Philippians had not matured. And so that's why Paul says all of us, and he includes himself, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Well, but before we get further into it, I'd like to share some information on a little bit of background on the Philippian church and the city of Philippi. The Philippian church was the first church to be established by the Apostle Paul and Silas in Europe. It was the first church. It was located in the northeastern part of Macedonia, and it was a Roman colony in good standings. In fact, some say that the city of Philippi, the leadership of the community strived to emulate the physical appearance of Rome. That is to say, their structures, their buildings, had a similar look to the buildings of Rome. They were that proud. And so that is possible. Now, the scriptures do tell us that when Paul, Silas, and then Timothy arrived to Philippi, They looked all over the place, the city, and did not find a synagogue, which was a typical, one of the typical things that Paul would do when he would visit various communities outside of Palestine. One of the first things he would do is seek out the synagogue, and then he would go there. And if given an opportunity, and often he was, then they would ask him, "Brother, do you have a word of encouragement?" And Paul would get up and he would say, "Thank you for the invite. I do have words of encouragement, and it has a lot to do with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior." And then he would proceed. And so, they did not find a synagogue in Philippi. And so they went to the next best thing. Scripture says they went to the river. They went to the river to find a place of prayer. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And so, according to some Bible scholars, Philippi was a pleasant area for retiring Roman veterans. And that's why it very easily could be explained why Philippi was a Roman colony and a leading city of the district. Acts chapter 16, verse 12. So, and that's what we have. Philippi was a model city. And they tried physically to emulate Rome and their physical appearance of their buildings and such. And it was a very active city that its citizens, they participated in civic matters. And so that kept the peace, and it was a model city. And no wonder Rome recognized it as a colony and as a leading city of that district. And so here we have Paul writing to this church, and of course he said other things prior to what we have just read. One of the things that I noticed is that Paul says, all of us who are mature. There is a point and a period in which maturity of people of faith exhibit their characterization of Christ through their lifestyle, through their conduct, through their behavior. And so Paul was complimentary of the brethren, especially those who had obtained the stage of maturity. Now, and we'll come across some other passages in which Paul says that it's an ever-going process. And I know and I think that you will find, even in this group, some people of this group have matured spiritually. And it's noticeable. All you got to see, all you got to do is open your eyes and look. You will see in this group, like in the church of Philippi, men and women who had matured in the faith. And they exhibit that characterization of growth, spiritual growth. And so Paul was real proud of them. But did you notice that he said, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things? My question to you is, what did Paul mean by should take such a view of things. What things? A view of what things? What was he talking about? And for that, you have to go with me and let's hear him make some comments. Look at, for instance, chapter 1, verse 9, and you will see what the apostle is referring to. Chapter 1 of Philippians, starting with verse 9 through 11, he says to the Philippian brethren, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." That's what Paul would pray for the Philippians, to abound more and more and more in the knowledge and in the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless up to the day of Christ, whenever that would be. I would suggest to you that the day of Christ is the second coming of Christ, whenever that is. And so what Paul is saying to these brethren is that don't ever stop growing. And you know what? You ask a mature Christian, he or she will never admit that he or she has already arrived. Those people will never admit that they have arrived, that they have come to a stage of maturity, as Paul has said that they had, some of them had. And so, but the knowledge, the scripture says here that they may abound in the knowledge. Knowledge of what? Well, also, that your love may grow in depth of insight. What in the world is that? The depth of insight? What in the world, Paul, are you talking about? I don't understand. Well, let's give him an opportunity to explain. And he does so. He does so. He says, look, this knowledge that I'm praying for you to increase forever, forever and ever, the depth of insight is for you to be much more keenly aware of your surroundings, of how you can best better help each other in the faith, how you can best better grow, continue to grow. Don't settle for the point that you have reached and think that there is no more growing to do. That's the first mistake. And that's exactly what Satan would want you to do. Because the day that you and I start thinking, I've arrived, you'll stop growing. Paul is saying what I'm talking about. Those of you who are mature, along with me, will never stop growing. We will be the first ones to admit that we still have a ways to go. And that's wonderful, isn't it? So that you may abound in more and more knowledge and depth of insight. Notice to what extent and in what areas. So that you may be able, by growing more and more in knowledge and by increasing your depth of insight, you may be able to discern what is best. What is best, and may be pure and blameless. That's what I'm talking about for the day of Christ. And what will happen when that day comes? You will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ and only through Him. It comes only through Him. And the only way that can be is if you have an active relationship. If there is an active relationship, and I would encourage those of us that are still struggling in trying to mature, then that's what we need to do. What we need to do is build on that relationship. Keep working out that relationship with Jesus. And because this fruit of righteousness comes only through Jesus Christ. And that only to the glory and the praise of God. Not yours, not mine, not ours, but His. You see, when that happens, the world around about you will not help but to notice He's different. I don't know what makes Him the way that He is, but He's different. She is very different from common people. People would be astonished. But that is because of the righteousness that you and I are developing. And only through Jesus Christ, a relationship that is very unique, cannot be substituted with anything else or with anyone else. It is only through Him and Him alone that you and I can continue accomplishing this fact. Now, I think you also notice that Paul said, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure, blameless. Well, you probably would be the first one to say, I can't say that I'm pure. I can't start saying that. People will think I'm a fanatic. If I go around, well, you don't have to go around saying anything. I can't say that I am blameless. No one that I know, not even at West Angelo, is blameless. Maybe we're looking at it differently. Probably so. The apostle, as he is praying for the Philippians, he uses the term purity. It's a Greek word. The Greek word is alikrenes. Alikrenes is the Greek word, which is translated into English purity. this word comes, or this word comes from a component of two expressions that literally means the sun and to judge. The sun and to judge. Elikrimes is the Greek word for purity that is found in this text. And what that means then, it indicates a purity that is tested by the light of the sun. That is tested by the light of the sun. I don't know if some of you ladies, because we men don't do that, but some of you ladies probably have in your bathrooms have a mirror with a lot of lights. And the reason why you do that is why? Is so that you can put your face as close to the mirror with all of that light reflecting on your face. What's that for? So you can discover whatever blemishes you have. And what are you going to do with those blemishes? You're going to cover them up. You put your makeup. The idea is somewhat similar, but that the sun, which is extremely strong, and if you're from West Texas, you know what we're talking about, the heat. But the sun is very bright and very revealing, you see. And the more revealing you come to realize that you've got some work to do to best better improve yourself. So that's the context of what Paul is referring here to. Is not referring to an impossible impurity that sometimes we all conclude, well, I can't say that I'm pure. You can if God says that you are. You see? But it's of His doing. And the closer you get to the light, the more revealing the blemishes of your face is. And the more you can attend to those blemishes. That's what it means here by purity. And then he used the word blameless. Oh, no one's blameless. It depends how you're using the term. Apparently, you're not using the term as Paul intended to be used. Because the word blameless is another a Greek expression which means it's a proskopoi. This word blameless is found in, well, go with me and let's look. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 32. That's the way he uses the term here. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. You find Paul telling the, and this church needed to hear this, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. How can anyone around you stumble? Through your behavior. Through your actions. Through your speech. Ah. Blameless not in an absolute sense, but to the degree that is within your control. You see. That's what Paul is speaking about. I don't know what other people give. I immediately hear folks say, Miguel, I'm not pure. you could be if you're doing it the way Paul is describing here. I'm not blameless. But apparently you're using a different terminology from what Paul is saying. Because Paul is saying, but don't keep anyone from being, don't you be a stumbling block. That is what the word that Paul uses, acroskopoi. So, when we understand these words, then they're doable. Well, no wonder Paul would say to the Philippians, you know, look, Paul himself would say later that he himself had not arrived. Look at chapter 3. Go with it to verse 12, for instance, and you will see that Paul is readily admitting something. Look at there, at Philippians chapter 3. Now look at verse 12 and following. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but this is what I do. And I encourage you to do the same. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You do the same. You press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of you. Do that. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward what's ahead, I press on, I press on, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is awesome. This is not a discouraging message. No, the opposite. This is a very encouraging message. And as he was speaking to the Philippians, his letter, as we read it this morning, is encouraging the San Angelans from West Angelo Church to do the same thing that the Philippians did. That he proposed the Philippians to do. And so, this is wonderful. I want you to realize something with me. You're there in Philippians chapter 3, and you have just read verses 12 through 14. Let me read verses 15 and 16. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Yeah, take a view of what I've just said to you prior. Take a view of those things. And if on some point you think differently, because you are mature, God will make it clear to you. Because you are mature and working towards even further growth. But notice verse 16. Please, please, notice verse 16 with me. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Do that. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. you've been in God's family for a good number of years. You have grown. You know a lot. God has blessed you. And you have gotten to where you've gotten. And so Paul is saying, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Where he's saying, I'm asking you to live up to what you have already attained. Build on that. Build. Don't do the mistake that some people do. Some people, because they have attained, you know, I've had people tell me, this is a true story, here in San Angelo, I'm teaching some courses in Spanish at SBI. I'm entertaining a teaching of hermeneutics, the science of biblical interpretation, and understanding the biblical genre of Scripture. And some of the Spanish brethren went on to tell someone else, you should come to Miguel's class. And this individual said, anything that he has to say, Miguel, he can't possibly have any more to say to me that I don't already know. I can't learn from him. That's a mistake that a lot of people have done. That's why some of our people have paralyzed themselves from growth. Don't do that. That's to your own detriment. Don't do that. I will encourage you to subscribe to Paul's statements to the Philippian brethren, and may his message be the same message that you accept this morning. And if you're subject to the invitation, if we can be of any source of help to you spiritually, that's one of the reasons why West Angelo Church of Christ exists, to help those that are in spiritual need. Won't you come as together we stand and we sing the song of invitation?